Good afternoon.
Did you treat everyone to ice cream?
No, it's too expensive.
What's this sleeping nights and Sunday for you?
You know, it's been a little crazy. Things are starting to settle down now, obviously, but it's exciting. You know, it's a great honor, obviously, and today's a great day. You know, visiting with players and sort of wrapping up the season with them. But yeah, it's exciting times right now.
So you see the smiles around the entire city. I mean, people can't wipe the smiles off their faces.
Even on y'all's faces.
Even on our faces. How does it feel to be the guys that did that?
You know, again, it's a little surreal. I don't think it's fully sunk in yet. You know, tomorrow will be, it'll probably hit everybody tomorrow, you know, seeing the excitement. My wife and I were at dinner last night, and just the people keep coming up and just, you know, congratulations. And just listening to the stories of people and their families and how they've wanted and waited for this for so many years. And, you know, for us to be responsible, you know, for that joy in their lives. I mean, that's part of what we do this for, you know, and that's exciting.
Where'd you go eat?
Hold on.
Where'd you go eat?
Barone's in Bar House there.
The Philly special, there's been speculation that Nick ran it in high school, the Patriots ran it years ago. You guys made it up. Like, can you just tell us finally where that play came from? I mean,
it came from the Chicago Bears, 2016. Mike Groh had it, not Mike Groh, but Alshon and the Bears ran it inside the 5-yard line, and that's where we got it from.
So who named it? The Philly special?
We kind of just all collaborated on that one offensively, because if not, it was going to get real wordy. So we just said, you know what, let's call it apples. No, you know, let's call it orange. Nope, Philly special. So that's what we tagged it.
Nick says that the Philly special really shows off the relationship between the two of you and the decision to go for it. How do you feel like that? Or what do you feel like it shows about the relationship that you have with Nick?
I just think it shows the trust that we have as quarterbacks and the trust that they have in me to call that play, obviously, and the guys to execute it. And, you know, it was the right time, obviously, at the right moment. Obviously, it'll be a pretty famous play, I think, now talked about for a long time.
As far as the offseason, what sense do you have of Carson's timetable and training camp's realistic?
Yeah, you know, talking about specific injury, I don't want to get into a ton of that. These guys are rehabbing right now. That's still a long way off. Still got to get through, you know, a lot of things this spring. But, you know, they're all doing well, and we'll continue to just monitor their progress.
Is there a similarity and difference between winning the Super Bowl as a player for you and a coach?
I think it's obviously probably a little more special for me now as a coach. I just think because you're responsible for a lot of different the people, you know, the players, the coaches, the organization. A lot of responsibility there, and just honored, you know, to represent this not only the Philadelphia Eagles, the organization, you know, Mr. Lurie, but the city of Philadelphia. It's pretty special to do it as a coach.
Just to clarify, so were you thinking about that play before Nick came over and said it, or was it Nick that said it and then that made you think of it?
That was a play that was in our +5 red zone area. It was a play that, you know, we had discussed even the night before. And, you know, you just never know when that play is going to be called. And there was a lot of conversation. I had just called the timeout, you know, on the play before. So we had some time to think about it and talk about it and suggest different things. There was a lot of suggestion. Nick had some suggestions as well when he came over to the sideline area. And then he and I ultimately agreed on Philly special.
For a team that has no 1,000-yard rushing or receiver or a 10-sack guy, and then the guys talking about how close-knit and unified, do you have an appreciation for how hard that is in the NFL to do these days in the salary cap era and put a team like this together?
I do. I do appreciate that. That's exactly what I told the football team this morning. Just a lot of unselfish players. You know, guys could complain about not having enough targets, you know, as a receiver. Guys could complain. I mean, I've told you guys this before. I mean, I've got two starting running backs that are sharing time, and neither one of them have complained, you know, on offense. So it just shows the character of the guys, the unselfishness, the willingness to just get the job done, you know, to win. And now they sit here today sort of, you know, reaping those rewards, and that's what it's all about.
Is that a formula that you can try to recreate going forward, or is that just always going to make this team a little bit more unique?
Well, it's going to be unique to this football team. I can't tell you what 2018 is the team is going to look like. As you know, free agency is a big part of that in the draft, and, you know, people come and go. So 2018 will be a lot different, but I think the messaging can be very consistent and stay along those same lines.
What's your message to these guys as they move? We've all seen teams win Super Bowls, and then, you know, they hit the banquet circuit and they celebrate, and that kind of goes into March, and you know, then you have mini camps coming up. What's the message as far as how long to celebrate and when to start kind of thinking about next year?
Well, you know, these guys are well deserving of everything now that they are going to be exposed to in the coming weeks, coming months. And there's a side of success that's not the glamorous side, and it's the side that you know, who's gonna hold out in OTAs, who's going to want the next big contract, who's gonna, you know, miss this or that for an endorsement deal, you know, an autograph signing. It's not the not so glamorous side of success, and that was a little bit of the messaging this morning to the guys. And you know, I told them, I said, you know, if you want, get used to this. This is the new norm in Philadelphia, playing, and hopefully playing into February every year. It's the new norm. So get used to it. Short off seasons and let's do that, you know, and the guys that want to be a part of that, you know, we'll do that. They'll want to be here. And I think everybody does want to be here. But as you know, the nature of the business is you can't keep everybody. It's just the way it goes. And, but the ones that are here, you know, my mindset is to be back again, to do it again, and to keep doing it, and to keep doing it. And, you know, I hold myself accountable. I'm just like the players. I can't accept every deal that's out there. I can't agree to every speaking engagement out there, because my goal is to win another one. And if my time is spent doing other things, then that's not the focus. And that's where we're at right now as a team.
So your relationship with Nick goes back, I guess, to college when you worked him out. Did it sort of intensify or get kicked up a notch once he was put in there to take over for Carson?
Yeah, you know, it did, because he now became the starter, obviously. You know, and having that familiarity with him helps, and sort of understanding how he thinks and what he likes and things of that nature. Gosh, I mean, you know, our relationship is, you know, it's strong, obviously. You know, we probably didn't have that same communication that Carson and I had. I mean, Carson was constantly, you know, talking with me about the game plan and stuff. And Nick is more just, you know, call the play and let me execute the play type of a guy. But as we got more comfortable and as he got more comfortable with the guys, you could see his confidence just coming out each and every week. And those are the things that I knew he had in him, and we saw as a staff, you know, these last couple months.
Doug, back in 2008, you were coaching high school football. When did you think that you could be an NFL head coach, but only an NFL head coach, a successful one?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't thinking much back then about, you know, being an NFL head coach, but obviously given the opportunity to get back in the NFL and start where I did, and then you never know what's going to happen. You know, I always felt like I could be a good coordinator, in this league, and whether I was calling plays or not, but just listen, my whole mentality, the reason I get into this business is to win, you know, just to win. I don't care who gets the credit. I want to help a team, you know, succeed and be successful on and off the football field, and you know, that's what I did in high school, and you know, that's what I hope I'm doing here, you know, and just stay humble, stay grounded, be me, don't change, work hard, and I think good things will happen.
Doug, what's the new Sunday NFL came out and they had like, you know, the mic'd up version, and so we got like another layer of depth into the game. You're this mild mannered guy, but you were out Belichick at that game, just gutsy calls, going for it, demoralizing the defense, you know, at every turn. Where did that come from? That this aggressiveness, just to, you know, step on their throats.
I think that's who I am. That's my alter ego. My evil twin, I guess. I don't know. I mean, whatever it is. I learned that, you know, probably from my dad a little bit. You know, his aggressiveness is with us as kids growing up. But, you know, I've always been sort of under the mindset to, you know, I want every play to score a touchdown. Every play. I want every defense to lose 5 yards. I mean, that's just how I approach the game. And I might come off as this soft-spoken to you guys, whatever, you know, but inside, I want to win the game, and not at an all costs type of an expense, but pretty close. And listen, when you're playing the Patriots, you're playing Bill Belichick, a Tom Brady. If you're not being aggressive in those games, you're going to lose those games. It's been proven time and time again. You're just going to lose those games. And I had my mind made up after the Minnesota game, you know, and I knew we were playing the Patriots, that I was going to have to maintain that aggressiveness in this football game. The pressure of the game was not going to change who I am. And that's how I communicated that to our team, and that's how they responded Sunday.
Doug,
we see you and Nick talking over the play with Philly Special, and he calls it Philly, and then you hesitate for a couple seconds before you say, yeah, go ahead, do it. Curious what was going through your mind in those 2 or 3 seconds while you thought it over.
I just had to process the whole situation. You know, it's 4th and goal, we're in the Super Bowl, we're on the 1-yard line, you know, right before halftime. Yeah, let's go, you know. And I think I had previously called a certain personnel group for the play that I was calling initially, and had to change all of that once all the information was gathered, and we swapped gears, and really, you know, nobody really knew the play at the time until I gave out the wristband number. So, for instance, the offensive staff, they can hear me call the plays, I just called out the wristband number. And then you hear, you know, it's Philly Special, and you know, everybody got a little fired up about that. Yeah, I'd have to look. I think it was like 50.
Does the fact that it's Philly, did that confuse you at all for a second? He called it Philly, not Philly Special. Did that take a second?
We knew exactly what we were talking about. Listen, Philly, Dilly Dilly, Philly Special. It was all the same to us.
Make it feel better that Tom missed the ball that was thrown at him.
Well, you know, I mean, when that happened, that was obviously before our play, and it just kind of went, wow, that's kind of the same thought, you know, process anyway. Just glad that we were able to execute ours.
It sounds like Jason Peters still wants to play. You said he still has years left ahead of him. Are you going into the offseason thinking he's your left tackle?
This guy's a Pro Bowl left tackle. And guys like that, in my opinion, my humble opinion, they can go out when they want to go out. I respect him and what he's done and how he's working right now through injury. And if you had to, you know, hold a gun to my head, I'd say, yeah, he's my starting left tackle.
Doug, what's been the most special moment for you personally from when the game ended until now?
I think just, again, the stories that I hear in the community that I've heard the last couple of days, and then just to see see the team again today. This is the first time we've been together really since the game, and just the joy and the excitement, and just knowing that kind of what we've been through, you know, this year is a pretty special thing. And like I told them, you know, this team is inked in NFL history, Philadelphia Eagles history, forever. That'll never be the same again. You know, it'll change as of, you know, probably after the parade tomorrow. Everything dynamics change, and so just having that moment today with the guys and just kind of revisiting is a pretty special thing. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you.